Just as a wee recap, where were we last week? Philippians chapter 1, and there was a panic. It's the same reading as last week, and it might be the same reading next week as last week and this week, just as we dwell in Philippians chapter 1. Last week, we just thought about the first two verses as Paul and Timothy writing, saying that they're servants of the Lord. But the writing, Paul is writing to the saints, to the people in Philippi, a church that had become really precious and dear to him. And he prays that they would know peace and grace, that shalom of God, that wholeness of being in relationship with God. So that's where we were last week. And then we just jump in verse 3 to 5, allow me to read it before we go there on the screen. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Oh, community. Community. Feeling that you belong. Paul writes here to the church that had become so special and so real to him. If I look here, verses 7 and 8, it's right for me to feel this way about you since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me, community. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. To feel that you are connected with somebody, in community with somebody. I remember a lot of years ago, youth and family worker in First Coleraine, and traveling. We were going out to Albania with a team, and we flew over to Gatwick Airport to then get a connection to Tirana in Albania. And walking through the airport, and I had a guitar case with me. And as I was walking along, this big chap pushing a trolley looked Caribbean, and on his trolley was a guitar. And as he walked past me, he just went, it's all he needed. We were in the community of the guitar. It was just no words were said, just a nod. Yeah, you and I, we know stuff. We do stuff. Belonging together. We have had our house in Coleraine since 2000, 25 years. Only recently, Robin, our daughter, has actually started speaking to the neighbours. Because she and her fiancé have got a dog. And every night that they're out walking, there are people speaking to her now. Apart from Carmel speaks all the time now. People, Robin says, I've never spoken to in my life. They're even winding the window of the car down. How's Yogi doing, Robin? The community of dog walkers. What's it going to be like here in the next wee while? Bikes. Golf. You wouldn't mix up a biker from a golfer, would you? Because you can tell the community. You can tell the sense of belonging. I remember way back in the mid-80s, early 80s, I had just come to faith. I'd got involved in Project Evangelism, if you've ever heard of it, 38 Mark Street, Mr. John Moxon. And I remember one of the weekends, Easter weekend, being up, and there was a young fella, big into the whole punk scene, if you remember way back. I only know him, can only remember his name as Crass, okay? That was the name he went by. But in chatting to him, he says, Gordy, you can tell the Christians. Thinking, why? How? Jeans, Icelandic jumpers, and Peter Storms. And he was absolutely right. And you looked at 80, 90% of the team at Project Evangelism. We all dressed the same. Golfer, biker. But feeling that you belong and that identity here that Paul writes about is not about what you look like. It's not about what you look like. It's not about your Peter Storm and your Icelandic jumper. It's about something that has changed inside. Do you remember last week, and on the 5th of January, we talked about the guy who was Brutus, I've just called him, the prison officer. Lydia, the affluent businesswoman. Grace, the young girl who had been used and abused and telling fortunes. But yet somehow their hearts were transformed and they'd been born into community and the community of the church in Philippi. Paul writes about this community four times. I pray, I long for all of you. I'm thankful for the partnership in the gospel that we share. Actually writes, I have you in my heart. The community is not a superficial shell. It's something deep. And it comes from that living relationship with Jesus. Dawn Carson writes, thinking about being more than our clothes, the heart of true fellowship is self-sacrificing conformity to a shared vision. Wow. Let me read that again. The heart of true fellowship is self-sacrificing conformity to a shared vision. Verse 5, Paul talks about from the first day until now, partnership in the gospel that we've shared from the first day until now. In chapter 4, verses 14 through to 16, let's actually flesh that out a little bit more. It was good for you to share my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. You get that? Their partnership in the gospel was practical. It was real, practical giving. But it has a deep personal connection. Verse 7, I have you in my heart. Verse 8, chapter 1, I long for you with the affection of Christ. Community. John Trapp, another one of the theologians, says, the communion of the saints was with them a point of practice as well as an article of belief. There's a thinker for you. The communion of the saints, the community, the belonging together, was with them a point of practice, something they did, as well as an article of belief, if you like, a theological principle. In chapter 2, and I'm so looking forward to getting to chapter 2, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, two parts of it, but in chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, before we get into the Christ hymn, we read, Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. That's what the community looks like. Folks, for us in Ballywillan, what does the community look like? That sense of belonging, getting past the clothes we wear, that deep heart connection of belonging to Christ and belonging to each other. From community, I want to think about confidence. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Philippians is one of my favorite Bible books. But again, we know these words, and they were actually quoted a few occasions at the installation service. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let's just unpack that verse. But for you and I to be confident in what God is doing in our lives, the person, it is He who began the good work. We can't stir it up ourselves. We can't make it ourselves. It is God who does this work within us. He, if you like, is the author. The place is this work in you, in me. He is the source. The work is spiritual. See, it's not about something you put on, not your bike jacket or your Peter Storm, not your golf gear. It's internal. Christ in you and me, the hope of glory. See, it's been 10 years since the church here has been founded, and Paul has seen the evidence and their care and their love for him, this good work. In confidence, Gordon Fee writes, this confidence has very little to do with them and everything to do with God, who both began the work and will carry it on. Folks, do you have that trust in Jesus in your life? Do I in my life? That confidence in the fancy word sanctification, the sanctifying work of Christ. Becoming a Christian is not just a point in the map. It's the start of a process. We'll pick up on that in a little bit. But that confidence, the psalmist in Psalm 62 writes, my soul finds rest in God alone. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. The confidence that we have in the person of Christ and the work that He's doing in us in the place of our hearts. But there's a confidence here. He who began that good work in you, will carry it on to completion. I have been inconsistent. And Karen, when I talked about the tree out the back of the manse, she looked at me and says, catch yourself on. And she was justified. Because past record of this wee job or this wee mad notion, absolutely justified in not carrying it on to completion. Evidence in part. But God is not like that. He does not change like the shifting shadows. The loft in our house in Orangefield when I grew up, my dad was fantastic with woodwork, brickwork, plumbing, electric, anything. Turned his hand to anything. But when Granny came to live with us, I could shift up a Slingsby ladder into the roof space. I was happy. I had my drum kit. That was okay. But Dad fixed the room around me. And whenever the house was sold in 1980 or thereabouts to move to Hollywood, the room still wasn't finished. But I'd been living in it. It was a process. But again, God is faithful to all His promises. He's loving towards all He has made. He will carry it on to completion. Don Carson says, Paul gives thanks to God because he's entirely confident, as he has observed the Philippians, that God, who indeed began a good work in them, is the God who begins the work and finishes it. And that promise is the same, folks, for you and I. The who is that He began the work. The where, well, it's in our hearts. It's a deep spiritual work. And the when, well, actually, until completion, but until the day of Christ, that process will continue and not stop. We kind of forget, if you like, the He is that He's the principal character. The where is the place in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. But the process is until the day of Christ Jesus. Somebody has talked about the difference between a slow cooker and a microwave. Any slow cooker lovers in the congregation? Yep. What's the difference? And please talk to me. What's the difference between the microwave and the slow cooker? slow cooks all day, and is there a benefit to that? You don't have to look at it all day, okay? Would it be argued that the microwave, ding, 30 seconds, and it's okay, but there's something about the slow cooker that the flavors just develop, and certainly Michaela in your house, I'm sure, Lee. But that, the flavors develop and it's richer and maybe the meat's more tender. The microwave works and it heats the food, but it can be bland. Yes, no, maybe. Broadband. At the minute, we're living without internet, apart from data on my phone. But when you get your internet, you remember dial-up? Come on. And then we get high-speed fiber optic. There it is. I wish I could click my fingers. But faith isn't like that. Maturity in our Christian life is more slow cooker than microwave. It's more conversation in a coffee shop than a chat over the internet. You get where I'm going here? And trusting the process, trusting the God of the process. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. I'm just going to read verse 12. But Paul says, not that I've already obtained all or attained all this, or been made perfect, but yet I press on to take hold of that. And I love this, for which Christ took hold of me. I'm pressing on to take hold of that, of which Christ took hold of me. I haven't got there. In fact, I'm not going to get there until the day of Christ Jesus. That's when the process finishes, when we go to glory. But we trust the God of the process, the God who loves us. The little old Joni Erickson Tata song, He's Still Working on Me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just 6 days to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. Trust the Lord of the process of change and growth spiritually in your life and my life. What's the point of where we're going today? For here in Ballywillan Church, a commitment to community. Paul says, I have you in my heart. My tree table, I sat this morning and counted. There were 15 different people helped me. From cutting the thing, to getting it from the bank onto the ground, from getting it to the ground, round to the store, from getting it to the store, to the sawmill, from getting it back from the sawmill, to starting into each of the slabs, trying to work at it. Two guys who are joiners, helping me, giving me advice, doing some of it where it was beyond me. It's a community project. The three little pieces were made by the guys in the men's shed because it's just beyond me. Folks, that's a picture of church. That we work together in community and get a job done and serve the Lord for his glory. But confidence in completion. It's a process, it takes time. Again, part of the advice given, let the big slab of wood sit for nearly 2 years before you touch it. And then just take your time. Take your time. Keep rubbing at it and rubbing at it and rubbing at it. Just take your time. And that's what the Lord does in your life and in my life as we follow him, as we serve him. Amen.